Title: Freeze and Flatten Strategies for Resampling Intermediate. All right, welcome back. In this lesson, we're going intermediate on Ableton workflow for drum and bass, and we're focusing on freeze and flatten strategies for resampling. And I want to set the tone right away. Freeze and flatten are not just CPU panic buttons. In DNB, they're creative tools. They're how you commit to a vibe, capture movement, print the chaos, and turn a complicated processing chain into audio you can slice like jungle, rearrange like edits, and reuse like your own personal sample pack. By the end, you'll have a repeatable setup, a bass chain you can print and rechop into new phrases, a break chain you can freeze into multiple print passes for layering, and a resampling lane that makes printing feel like one click instead of a whole ceremony. Let's build the template first, because workflow is everything. Step 0, project prep. Set your tempo to drum and bass territory, 172 to 176 BPM. I'll use 174. Now make three group tracks, one called bass, one called breaks, and one called resample prints. Inside resample prints, create three audio tracks: print bass, print breaks, and print FX. On each of those print tracks, we want them ready to listen and record without thinking. So set audio from to whatever you're printing. Early on, you can set print bass to listen to the bass group, and print breaks to listen to the breaks group. Set monitor to and so it always listens. Then when you want to print, you just arm the track and hit record. Teacher note here: the reason this is so powerful in DNB is speed. The genre rewards iteration. If printing audio feels slow, you'll avoid it, and you'll stay stuck tweaking devices. If printing is easy, you'll collect variations like ammunition, fills, tails, stabs, and weird one-bar accidents that become your best moments. Now, before we touch sound design, let's get freeze versus flatten crystal clear in a practical DNB way. Freeze is a checkpoint. It renders the track post-device chain into a temporary file. You can unfreeze later and tweak. It's perfect when you're still auditioning, still deciding between a few versions, or your CPU is melty and you need to keep moving. Flatten is commitment. Flatten replaces the track with actual audio, and your device chain is gone. The payoff is huge. Now you can chop, reverse, warp, slice, stutter, and do proper sample-based arranging. That's the classic jungle brain. Print it, then edit it like it's vinyl. A simple rule of thumb: freeze when you're still choosing, flatten when you're arranging with chops and you want to stop second-guessing. One more coach note: freeze isn't what you'll keep. It's a saved game state. You're locking the sound for now so you can make musical decisions without reopening the sound design rabbit hole. Cool. Let's build a bass worth freezing. Inside the bass group, create a MIDI track called Bass Resource. For the instrument, use Wavetable, stock only. Set oscillator 1 to a saw. Oscillator 2 can be a square, lower level, and to tune it slightly to get that thickness. Add a touch of unison, like 2 to 4 voices, but keep it controlled. DNB bass gets wide fast, and wide low end is where club systems get angry. Now for movement. Inside Wavetable, use an LFO map to filter cutoff or Wavetable position. Set it synced. Try 1/8 notes or 1/16 notes depending on the roller feel you want. This is the kind of movement that, once it feels good, you'll want to print, because the printed motion becomes a performance you can chop. Now the processing chain. Here's a really usable order. Start with EQ8. Put a gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz. Not because you hate sub, but because you want to remove useless rumble and keep the headroom predictable. If it's boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Then add saturator. Analog clip mode is your friend. Dry somewhere around 3 to 8 dB. You're not trying to end the world yet. You're building harmonics. Optional but great. Add amp. Clean or rock can add bite. Keep the gain modest. If you push it too hard, everything becomes fizz and you'll lose the note. Then add auto filter. Use a 12 or 24 dB low pass. If you want even more movement, modulate the cutoff. You can use Max for live LFO if you have it, or just rely on Wavetable's movement plus automation. Then add a limiter as safety, not as a mastering move, just a don't let this spike and distract me move while designing. Now a quick width and mono check, because this is where intermediate producers either level up or get punished later. Put utility at the end. The sub, roughly under 120 Hz, should be mono. If you want width, you widen above that. A simple way is an audio effect rack splitting low and high bands. Low chain at 0% width, high chain maybe 120 to 160% width. Carefully, if you're ever unsure, temporarily set utility width to 0% on the whole bass and listen. If it collapses into sadness, your wide layer is doing too much of the core job. All right, now we go into a freeze strategy, printing movement in multiple passes. Duplicate the base track twice so you have three versions. Name them base resource A, B, and C. Make each version slightly different. Version A, smoother filter, mild saturation. Version B, more drive and a slightly faster LFO rate. Version C, add a little redux for grit or overdrive for edge. Now freeze each track. Right-click the track header and choose freeze track. And here's the point. You're going to audition quickly. Solo A, solo B, solo C. Listen for the moments that hit. Maybe A feels great in the intro, B feels perfect for the drop, and C has nasty little phrases you can use as fills. This is why we freeze first. It lets you compare commits without burning bridges. Now pick a winner. Let's say version B is the one. Before you flatten, do a safety duplication. Duplicate the frozen track and rename the duplicate base printed audio. On base printed audio, right-click and choose flatten. Now you've got audio on the timeline, and you can treat it like a sample. Time to chop it like DNB. Double-click the clip. Turn warp on. For bass, Complex Pro is usually the safe, transparent choice. Beats mode can be cool if you want artifacts, like a crunchy old-school vibe. Now start slicing. You can manually add transients, or if you have percussive bass stabs, you can use create slices to new MIDI track. The big goal is call and response. Don't just loop a phrase for 16 bars. Make it talk. Here's a clean drop idea. A 16-bar drop. Bars 1 to 8, stable roller bass. Bars 9 to 12, introduce chopped yelps or variations. Bars 13 to 16, a heavier fill with stop-start edits. And remember, negative space edits hit hard in heavy D&B. Sometimes the best fill is literally removing sound for a 16th note so the next impact feels like it lands twice as hard. Now, freeze and flatten are one printing approach, but there's a second approach that's super important, recording into print tracks. This gives you control over tails, sidechain, returns, and what exactly gets captured. Let's set up a dedicated resample bus. Create an audio track called Resample Bus. You have two options. Option 1. Set audio from to resampling, which records your master output. That's quick, but it can accidentally include master limiting or clipping. Option 2. Safer and usually better. Route only what you want. For example, set audio from on resample bus to the bass group. Monitor in. Arm it. Now you can print intentionally with FX tails. Put reverb and delay on return tracks. For example, return A with hybrid reverb, a short dark room. Return B with echo at 1/8 or dotted 1/8, filtered. When you record the resample, you'll capture those tails, and those tails are gold for DNB transitions and atmosphere. Pro move. Record 16 bars, then hunt for the best 2-bar moments and build fills out of them. Even better, do micro prints. Print only the last 1 bar of your phrase while you tweak distortion and feedback. Build a little folder of endings you can drop at bar 8, 16, 32. That's how you get professional arrangement momentum without constantly reinventing the whole bass. Quick pre-flight checklist before any print pass. This takes 10 seconds and saves you headaches. Check for random modulators. If you want repeatable results, disable randomness or set deterministic rates. Check latency if you're using heavy look-ahead devices like limiters. And immediately label the printed clip, what it is, the key, BPM, and bars. Something like, base print fmin 174 bar 1-4 dist b. It feels obsessive until your project has 40 prints and you're thanking yourself. Also, if you record through buses and your printed audio starts slightly late or early, consolidate. Highlight exactly what you want and hit consolidate so the clip starts cleanly on the bar. This avoids mystery offsets later when you're chopping. Now let's do breaks. Same philosophy, slightly different goal. We often freeze breaks to create layers. Clean, smashed, destroyed. Inside the breaks group, create a track called break source and drop in a breakbeat loop. Processing chain example. Start with a Q8, high pass around 30 to 40 Hz, and maybe dip 300 to 500 if it's muddy. Then drum bus. Drive anywhere from 5 to 20% depending on aggression. Keep boom low or off if you want tightness. Then saturator, drive 2 to 6 dB. Then glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto ratio 2:1 or 4:1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction for glue. If you want the smashed version, go harder. Now duplicate the break track into 3. Break clean, break smashed, break destroyed. Adjust processing for each. Clean is controlled. Smashed is tighter and louder. Destroyed is where you get weird. Freeze each. Then flatten only the ones you want to slice. Flatten break destroyed. Right-click the clip and slice to a new MIDI track. Use a built-in slicing preset or simpler slicing. Now program jungle edits, stutters near the last half bar, ghost notes by lowering velocities, pitch one snare hit up three semitones for variation. The point is hierarchy. Keep a dry or clean core break as the backbone and add destroyed slices as spice on transitions, last two beats or every fourth bar. That keeps the groove readable while still sounding savage. Let's cover common mistakes so you don't step on rakes. Mistake 1. Flattening too early. You lose your device chain. Always duplicate first, or even better, archive your source. Here's a tidy trick. Make a group called Archive Do Not Touch. Drag your original MIDI and device-heavy tracks in there. Mute them. Now your main lane stay clean, and you can always recover the source later without clutter. Mistake 2. Printing with unwanted master processing. If you resample the master, you might capture a limiter or clipper you didn't mean to bake in. Fix is simple. Route only the group you want into your print track or resample bus. Mistake 3. Forgetting warping choices. Bass often behaves well in Complex Pro. Breaks can sound amazing in Beats mode because it adds grit. Mistake 4. Mono compatibility. Wide res plus sub equals weak clubs. Keep sub mono, wide and highs. Mistake 5. Not naming and organizing prints. DNB sessions get huge fast. Naming is not admin, it's creative speed. Now a few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Print distortion in stages. Instead of one brutal chain, print a median distorted version, then distort the audio again as a second pass. Two-stage printing often sounds more finished than one monster rack. Use flattened bass as a texture bed. Duplicate your printed bass. One stays cleanish, the other gets heavy redux, a bandpass filter, and a short reverb for mid-texture. Blend quietly. Now your bass speaks on small speakers without losing the core. Turn reverb tails into unique risers. Print a bass hit with a huge return tail. Reverse the audio, warp it, fade it in. Now your riser is tonally matched to the drop, because it literally came from the drop. This audio version is shortened for playback.